This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now, here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Of course, very nice to have all the family and food and all those different things together. So that was good. And of course, now we got a good feast of football games coming up. Weekend 12 here in the National Football League. And you got 9 games total. Now, we've already had 2 of them that have 500 records or better against each other. That's about as good as it gets. So we got a lot of good football. Certainly, we got a Monday night game between Seattle and Washington. A lot of different stuff. And, of course, we got a lot of college football today, the last day of college football. So let's get into headlines. Well, Washington State came in and just blew out Washington 40-13. Sam Hewitt had 4 interceptions in that game. Washington State looked so good. And so now what ends up happening is that they have a chance to maybe win the Pac-12 North. Now, for that to happen, Oregon's got to lose to Oregon State today, because if Oregon wins, then they win the Pac-12 North. But still, there's a chance. And yeah, you figure that Oregon's going to be able to beat Oregon State. But last week, they played so bad that who knows? We'll see where it goes. Kraken lose 3-0 last night. So they continue to struggle. And that's not good. Then you got injury news in the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to play. He's got the problem that he has with that pinky toe in his right foot. Didn't practice all week, but still is going to give it an effort to try to get out there and do as much as he can, which, of course, you figure he's going to do pretty well because he's Aaron Rodgers. And so that's encouraging. You've got the New York Jets. They're going to end up getting their starting quarterback back because, again, you got Joe Flacco, COVID-19. You've got Mike White, COVID-19. So that means Zach Wilson gets a chance to get back and be the starters. And so those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Cleve. How are you doing this fine Saturday morning, my friend?
Good. How are you?
All right. Was Thanksgiving great?
It was good. Good.
All right. Good, good.
What about
good.
For you?
It was good until 5:20.
Yeah. I can imagine. I had not great hopes for the Saints this year because of all the players they lost in the offseason, and they did better getting off to the 5-2 start. But now with all the injuries and all the things mounting against them, it looks bad.
They're done. You lose your top 2 offensive production guys.
Yeah.
That were left. That was Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. You're done, Mr. Clay.
And then how about the fact that Deontay Harris now has got a 3-game suspension that he's appealing? He's maybe their most talented of the least talented wide receiver group in football. And so now he has a chance of, missing 3 games.
Put a fork in him, Mr. Clayton. That's all you can do. Sean Payton, what else can he do? Where can he turn to get production?
Mm-hmm.
You lose Adam Trotman, the tight end.
Right.
Deontay Harris gets suspended. You got Big Mike is out. You're using a bunch of undrafted guys. Tre'Quan Smith is your best wide receiver that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You have nowhere else to go. Where can you go?
You can't.
In the words of the great Bill Parcells, you can't dial up 1-800 get a quarterback. You can't dial up 1-800 get a bunch of playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. No, they got to wait till next year. It's just too depleted,
right
now. And the time to get some of these guys back, the season's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. So wait till next year on that. Looking at them, and on the defensive side, they lost Davenport. He's productive when he's there, but he's injured often.
Right.
So yeah. So they've got a lot of things they got to clean up. As far as that's concerned.
It looks really bad.
Oh, it does. It does. When you lost Jameis Winston, which Sean had him playing at a productive level, you lost him and you went to Trevor Siemian.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start losing people around Trevor Siemian. He can't do it on his own, Mr. Clayton.
Yeah.
No. You see the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
They got to wait till next year.
Yeah.
And they get some players back and go to the draft and maybe pick up a wide receiver and help Mike out in case that situation happens again.
Well, and then pick up a quarterback, too.
Probably have to do that, too. Would you give James Winston another chance, or what would you do?
Oh, you can't count on Jameis Winston coming off the ACL and all that stuff. So you got to go get a quarterback.
Yeah, you're going to have to go get a quarterback. Yep. Well, they're in the market for it.
Yep.
They're now on the clock. Yep, they're in the market for it. Let's talk about a few of these games coming up Sunday, Mr. Clayton. Mm-hmm. They're pretty interesting. That first one is Tampa Bay going to the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts are running. They're playing good football right now, Mr. Clayton.
They really are.
Real good football. Yeah. Yeah, they're very dominant on both ends of the ball, and they're dominating the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, they got a great offensive line. That's the one thing that you can see. Their offensive line is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about that game?
I think in the end, it's like Tampa Bay is still the better team because they got Tom Brady, but it could be an interesting game. Anything can happen. I mean, that's the one thing. I don't know about how the odds makers are doing or anything else, but it's hard to predict these games because, good teams look bad against bad teams, and you never know when you're going to have a bad game. So it's like anything can happen.
Definitely can. I tell you a game right now, and he's starting to resurge, Mr. Clayton, Tennessee at New England.
Uh-huh.
Bill Belichick and the boys are coming.
They really are.
They're coming. Yes, they are. I think Tennessee might have a little problem going there.
Well, plus they got so many injuries. I mean, they've lost almost their entire wide receiver core. They've lost Derrick Henry, because Brown's not going to be able to play. Julio Jones is on injured reserve. I mean, they're basically just kind of scrapping it out. And so that leaves them vulnerable right now to Tennessee. And New England right now has got everything going, although their two tight ends are pretty well banged up.
Yes, they are. But I tell you, that defense with Judon and those boys, Mr. Clayton, they're not playing around.
No, they aren't.
Playing around.
Agreed.
Is operation shut down when you come to the area?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you believe the Bengals are 3-0 against the Steelers in the last three games?
Yeah, but you wonder if that's going to continue. But, Steelers did get healthy. I think they've got the three starters back that they missed last week. Mika Fitzpatrick's coming off the COVID-19, and I think T.J. Ward's going to be able to play, and I think Joe Hayden's going to be able to play. But again, it's like, hey, Bengals are doing a good job.
They're doing a good job. Mr. Clayton, I got to give them hats off this year, coming in there with a bunch of young players, a couple of free agents they picked up off the market. It looks pretty promising for them right now.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
And they're looking good. They're taking advantage of what they see in front of them. They're doing a pretty good job.
Right.
I'll tell you another game that's interesting. The Rams going to Green Bay.
You just
was talking about Aaron Rodgers, if he's going to be healthy enough to play. But the Rams, they're interesting, Mr. Clayton. The reason I say they're interesting, Robert Woods gone is a big, intricate part of that offense.
Agreed.
He draws a lot of attention when he's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Him not being in the equation, Odell still getting acclimated to their offense. How do you see them playing out going to Green Bay?
I mean, I think Green Bay has an edge because they got Aaron Rodgers, but he's not 100%. But that's the great part about this weekend. When you have like seven remaining teams that are 500 or better, I mean, you can't really say who's going to win or who's not going to win. I mean, you can make predictions and say this is going to happen, this is going to happen, but you can't guarantee it.
No, you can't. And I think the one thing that might hamstring the Packers is their running game. Now they lost their starting running back for right now.
Yeah, but he may be able to play. Aaron Jones may be able to play with that knee injury.
Oh, he might be able to play. Okay, then. Well, that helps out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That helps out a lot as far as their balance in their offense was predicated on their running game.
Right.
In my opinion, so they've got to get that balance back in the running game. And Aaron Jones plays an intricate part in how they run the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, I looked at the way Minnesota played them last week. Mr. Clayton, they got after them.
Yeah.
they got after him. And they were productive in getting after him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to limit and say the Rams go to Green Bay and win, Mr. Clayton.
They could. Yeah. We'll see how they do with the weather, and I don't know how the weather's going to be in Green Bay. I mean, we know last week or so it snowed, and that could be a little bit of an issue. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like anything else, I mean, this is a very unpredictable weekend as far as all these games, because all these games should be very, very close.
Yeah. You look at right now, you're looking at two high teams right now in the NFC, Minnesota going to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in San Francisco, Mr. Clayton?
What's that?
You believe in San Francisco?
Not totally, no.
No?
I still think their injuries will catch up to them.
Uh-huh. What about Minnesota?
No, I don't believe in them. And then, of course, now Everson Griffin's going to be out for at least 3 weeks because of his mental problems, and they have no pass rush right now. That hurts.
Yeah, that'll definitely hurt. And, you know, the other defensive end opposite of Everson Griffin, he's out for the year, right?
Not the year, but, I mean, yeah, probably the year. But, again, I mean, they put him on the reserve list, and so that's at least going to be 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. That hurts.
Yeah.
You know, when you lose a guy like that, that definitely hurts. And then you say Everson Griffin was probably the second best pass rusher.
Right.
He's not going to be at that game. Where are they going to generate that pass rush from?
Right, because Danielle Hunter's on injured reserve, so that's...
Yeah.
And again, they got down to the point now where it's like you got Everson Griffin right now as your second best pass rusher. And what is he, like 32, 33 years old?
Yes, and that's a problem.
Yeah, agreed.
They expect that from a guy that age, that can cause you a significant drop-off in your production right there.
Uh-huh.
As far as that's concerned. Yeah. What about that Cleveland-Baltimore? Cleveland at Baltimore.
I'm not sold on Cleveland right now. Baltimore, I'm sold on. I mean, their defense hasn't played as well as it should. But, you know, with Baker Mayfield, he's so injured right now. You just wonder what he's going to be able to do.
Yeah, how productive can he be, you know? What about Lamar Jackson? I know you had a little under the weather. He's going to be good to go, right?
Yeah, he should be fine.
He should be fine?
Yeah.
Does that draw concern to you coming into the playoffs with Lamar having to carry so much of the load on that team?
It's been that way for 3 years, so it's like we should be used to it by now.
Yeah, you're used to it, but it always stalls in the playoffs.
Yeah, it does.
When a team, you know, keys on him totally,
uh-huh.
Where does he go? Yeah, you know. I mean, can you keep continuing getting away with it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Not, like you said, Baker Mayfield right now, he's injured. He's injured. He's kind of banged up right now. The defense is not playing like they normally did. I'm talking about Cleveland's defense. They didn't play like they normally did. But it should be a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb back?
Repeat that again.
Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I think Hub came off. Hunt came off the injured list today. Chubb should be fine, so they will have their top two running backs.
Oh, okay, good. What about the COVID list, Mr. Clay? What are they going to do with that as far as the COVID protocols in the NFL? Are they going to stay status quo, or are they going to change them something?
No, they're going to continue the way it is. I mean, right now it's like you know, you got over 250 players that have been on the COVID-19 list, and you know, there's always like 3, 4, 5 players a game that are added to it a day on the waiver wire. So it's like it's not good. There's no outbreak that's affecting any games being canceled or forfeited or anything like that. But it's not a good situation.
Yeah, because they're going to have to try to see it. You know, I'm just looking ahead as things progress.
Right.
You know, in the NFL, I thought maybe they would change some of their protocols up in there, because right now you're not mandatory to get the shot, right?
No, and they won't be, because, again, that's part of the CBA agreement, that it's not mandatory.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see from there. We'll go from there and see what happens as far as that's concerned.
Uh-huh.
You know? Well, Mr. Clayton. Last one, the Chargers.
Yeah.
Are they faltering, Mr. Clayton?
A little bit, yeah.
Faltering?
They're faltering.
Yeah.
They've had some COVID-19 problems. You know, they're faltering a little bit on defense. Special teams haven't been good. But they do have Justin Herbert, and he's fantastic.
And they got a good offense.
Yes.
You're right about that. You got some real good receivers that can definitely make up for a lot of that, those ailments that they're suffering right now. Yeah. I like Justin Herbert. He's great. He's a nice player. Yeah. He's the only guy that I think, Mr. Clayton, when you look at him throw the football, it looks like he gets faster as the football gets away from him.
Right.
I mean, it's remarkable what he can do throwing the football.
No doubt.
He's a very interesting player. I love watching him play. Great guy.
Hey, JB, thank you for the phone call.
Mr. Clayton, you have a good one. We'll talk next Saturday, my friend.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Vince in North Idaho. Hey, Vince.
He's the man, the myth, the legend, the Hall of Famer. He's John Clayton. Damn it.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really good, John. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing well.
Shout out to Dre and to JB and Commando Dave, and even to Irish Stinky.
Yeah,
Stinky. We'll call him Stinky. How many championships have they won, John, since 1990?
Would that be zero?
Zero is the correct term. Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay.
anyway, you know, and by the way, I've never quit John Clayton. I hear you here all the time on 700 ESPN out of Spokane, and you're on SWX here on television as well. So
okay.
I'm always connected to John Clayton.
Appreciate that.
And Commando said last week I'm on the witness relocation program. No, just the relocation program here. So, you know, it's a lot different world over here in North Idaho as it is in Eastern or Western Washington. But anyway, nonetheless, John, I wanted to talk about the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And particularly Coach Carroll. I don't know if you agree with this, but in my opinion, I thought that Geno Smith played very well, especially against Jacksonville, and he played well in those two games that they lost.
Yeah.
And I thought that Geno Smith should have started and played that game, and that since Russell couldn't even take a snap under center for fear of getting his finger re-injured, I thought that was a bad decision, because we all know that in probably his most famous two games ever as a coach, he sat down Matt Hasselbeck, played Charlie Whitehurst. They won that last game. And the next game, Matt played, and the rest is history. Beefquake, 41-35 over the Saints. Sorry, JB. But, you know, I thought he erred in judgment. And then last week, listening to the press conference after the game on the radio, he actually walked off and said, that's it, I'm out of here. And then he came back.
Right.
To me, the game hasn't passed Coach Carroll by. But, and this is a big but, I think it's time to get a new set of eyes as a head coach. And we've got that head coach on the team already. And his name is Shane Waldron. And then we keep Coach Carroll. We got to keep Carroll and Schneider. They are the Lennon and McCartney, the architects of this team. Because Carroll is still a great talent evaluator. He still has a lot to add. But, you know, with McVay and Kingsbury and the other coach, Shanahan, I really see this becoming a player's league. And the fact that that Coach Carroll could not sit Russell down really bothered me, because Coach Mike Tomlin – he has no problem sitting down Roethlisberger and playing Mason Rudolph. You know,
yeah, but he had no choice. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was on COVID-19. He had a positive test, and he had no chance to be able to play. He never sat down, Ben Roethlisberger.
Right, but I'm talking past years as well.
He's never benched Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, you know, Ben Roethlisberger had the shoulder injury in the Pittsburgh game a couple years ago, missed the rest of the season. He's never benched Ben Roethlisberger. And again, you know, benching, I mean, again, Russell Wilson's your Hall of Fame quarterback. He's the best quarterback you have in the team. If he's healthy enough to try to play, even though he's not 100%, you play him. And firing Pete Carroll would be ridiculous.
No, I didn't say fire him, John.
Yeah.
I want him to stay. Are you listening?
I know.
I said to keep him in the organization mm-hmm. because we need him to still have those eyes on talent. I still think he picks talent great.
Yeah.
He could add so much to this team. And with he and Schneider, with maybe Shane Waldron, and he could still do his thing at training camp and still be, I just think that there needs to be, we have not won a divisional, we haven't gone past the divisional round since we lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And we've been a good team, but do you agree, John, that this team just has way too much talent to be a 3-7 team this year? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that, but it's just been a bad year. And when you lose your starting quarterback and you lose the games with the starting quarterback out, that's a problem. And again, it's like, what do you expect? I mean, the team won 12 games last year. It's added talent, not subtracted talent. And, it's hard to get advancement as far as in the playoffs until you got everything all together. And this team hasn't had everything all together. And to get rid of Pete Carroll as the head coach would be a mistake. And there's enough people. Now, you don't hear it in town as much here, but it's like because you're Northern Idaho. But it's like people they want Shane Waldron fired.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good. I don't want to blow up the Seahawks. I just want to rearrange the Seahawks.
If you rearrange the Seahawks, you blow up the Seahawks.
Not when you keep them in the same team. I think that Carroll still has a lot to add. And I just think that Waldron, look, Russell Wilson likes mm-hmm. Shane Waldron quite a bit. And I believe that the NFL is going in a different direction in coaching. They're getting younger at the coaches. And Carroll still is good. But I wish that... So you don't think that
100%, Geno Smith should have started? No, I think that's. I mean, let's put it this way: how are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers doing with 68-year-old Bruce Arians? Pretty well, right? How are the New England Patriots doing with Bill Belichick, who's close to 70? Pretty well, right? Age doesn't matter. Coaching matters. Pete Carroll can coach.
Well, okay, we'll agree to disagree on that. I just think that we need to make changes somehow to shake this franchise up a little bit, not to destroy it, but to shake it up. And I don't think it would destroy it. Because we just haven't, and also going back to Russell, he's had really one tremendous game this year, and that was the first game of the season where it seemed like everything was clicking as far as what Waldron wanted. Everything looked great. And then Russell had the next three games, I think, where he was in position mm-hmm. to make those comeback wins in the fourth quarter. And then he, for whatever reason, things did not happen. So I don't think that Russell's had the best year overall this year, even prior to his finger being injured. And Geno had played that great game against Jacksonville. He was wonderful. And I thought if he had gotten the 2 weeks of reps, we had the bye week after that game. And in my opinion, I thought he would have been the better candidate for that game.
Is not as good as a starter. Hey, but I've got to run. So thank you for the phone call.
Hey, John. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. You take care of yourself.
All right, let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How's the missus?
Okay, doing well.
Good. Hey, I think your last caller has been listening to Colin Cowherd too much.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know if he does or doesn't, but it's like everybody trying to ask for dramatic changes is just so wrong.
Yeah. Just take things with a grain of salt. What he says, it comes out of his mouth.
Well, because, again, it comes out of Mark Rogers' mouth, the agent for Russell Wilson. Because, I mean, Russell shares, I think, the same publicity person as Colin Cowherd. And so there's a and you haven't heard a positive thing from Colin Cowherd and the Seahawks in years.
You're not going to. He's a negative person. He's looking for ratings.
Right.
So it is what it is. It's just like if a lot of the Steeler fans want to blow out Tomlin. Mm-hmm. Who do you bring in?
Yeah, Tomlin's agreed.
Tomlin's one of your best coaches in the NFL.
All right.
They fire him tomorrow. He'll have a job next week somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He's a heck of a coach. Hey, John, I got a quick thing to ask you. This kid that plays for Michigan called Hutchinson, is that Steve Hutchinson's son?
I have no idea. You know, I pay so little. I mean, I watch the games, but I pay so little attention to the details of college football during the season because I'll catch up to it once we get past the football, the regular NFL season.
Yeah.
But it's like I have no idea. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't.
Yeah. Isn't this a weird season for the NFL? How
yes.
week to week there's just upsets.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You don't know who, and you know the mind-boggling thing about it, John. You don't know who's going to play in the Super Bowl.
I have no idea.
Everybody's thinking Tampa Bay and Kansas City. I think it's going to be two teams we're not looking for.
Probably. I mean, we have no idea. Nobody can project it right now.
Hey, John, one other quick thing. Boy, the Steelers are just playing up and down each week. What do you come to the conclusion?
Well, their offensive line's terrible. They've had some injuries in the last week or so where they had, you know, three key defensive players that were out. Mika Fitzpatrick with COVID-19. They didn't have T.J. Ward. They didn't have Joe Hayden. That takes away a lot. And but I think the biggest thing, and of course, don't forget they have no Juju Smith-Schuster because he's out for the rest of the year. So you take away all those different things, and they're not as deep as they were, and they're a little bit more vulnerable.
But if you looked at every one of their games, they're in every game.
Yeah.
They haven't really been blown out.
Well, also take a look at the fact that they entered the league with the strongest schedule in the NFL, a 579 schedule. And even right now, they have the second toughest closing schedule in the league. You know, like, for example, you look week in and week out for the rest of the year, they don't take on a team right now currently that has a losing record.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal.
And, that's why every game, if they win, it's 8 points or less. It's a one-possession game.
Well, I look at it this way. I got a very good head coach, so he'll find a way to keep that team in games.
Right.
Yeah. All right, John, you take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, Mike, thanks you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Joe in Mount Vernon. Hey, Joe.
Hey, John. Thank you. I like your show very much.
Well, thank you.
I have a simple question.
Yeah.
I live overseas most of the time, but all these sports teams have changed their uniforms a little bit, their colors, their logos a bit. Do you think the Raiders will ever put some kind of face mask on this logo of theirs?
A face mask?
You know, the guy, the Raider doesn't have, he looks like he has a helmet from the 1930s or 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
A face guard, I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll update it at all, or do you think this is sort of their logo?
I think that's their logo. I think that they're staying the tradition and all those different things, so I don't necessarily think that's going to change.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff in Magnolia. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, hey. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Why don't more teams try to use the pitch out method after a ball has been caught? Like, you say you have a 3rd and 20,
mm-hmm.
or 3rd and 15, you throw a short 3-yard pass, and then you shift into a rugby mode where you try to do pitch outs. I mean, especially in a Hail Mary situation, why don't they try to do more pitching back? To
too risky. I mean, because again,
it's
too risky. Again, it's like
a Hail Mary situation.
Yeah, but again, it's like if you're going to be doing that in the middle of a game, I mean, you know, the defenses are so quick in being able to catch up to it that you're going to have more turnovers. So, in other words, would you want to pitch out to get more turnovers? No. Absolutely not. That'd be a bad strategy. Sure, you can do it in the last play of a game, but if you do it like that, because, hey, it's tough enough even when you try to do gadget plays where you have the quarterback getting the ball to a running back and then pitching it back and all those different things. If you do it, I mean, the player, I mean, this isn't college football. College football does have players with speed, but the NFL has speed at every position on defense for the most part. And if you do it in the NFL, all you're going to do is put yourself in a position to have more turnovers. So do you really want to have your team in a position to get more turnovers? I'd think not.
Okay, I got you. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here. Of course, we're taking your phone calls here. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We have the full show today, which is great. And, of course, lots of stuff. It's going to be a great weekend for NFL football just because you have so many teams right now, 500 or better, that are going to be facing each other. I mean, we got, you know, two teams. Now, again, Thanksgiving was pretty bad. That, I tell you what, that Cleveland-Detroit game, or the Chicago-Detroit game, was absolutely horrendous. I mean, how about the fact, and again, part of it has to be on the officiating, you know, because they're calling too many penalties. I saw one stat coming into week 12 that said there's like 342 holding penalties that have been called compared to like 260 last year. And then what happened in that Detroit game, there was six holding penalties on the Lions, and then there was like four false starts. And then you look at the Dallas game, you know, Dallas going against the Raiders. I mean, each team had 14 penalties. I mean, it's bad. And I think it's been a bad year for NFL officiating, and I'm the biggest supporter of NFL officiating. I think that they do the best job of any league in the league. But right now, they're calling too many penalties. So I want to get your reaction to that, because to me, it makes for bad football. And we're seeing so much of that that it's really holding back the game. I mean, listen, you don't go to a game or watch a game to watch officials call penalties. You don't watch the officials. You want the game to be able to go. But, you know, when all of a sudden you're sitting back now, I mean, your team ends up making a big play. Next thing you know, that play is canceled. It's a first and 20, second and 20. It's just a killer. And right now, the officials are killing the game with as many penalties as they're calling. They're calling too many personal fouls. The taunting rule is ridiculous. I mean, you know, this is. I mean, Thanksgiving was without doubt the worst Thanksgiving we've seen for football, and a lot of it was because of the penalties. Now, again, you know, Chicago-Detroit, that's just a bad football game. And naturally, New Orleans is a bad football team right now with all their injuries, the problems, the lack of receivers, lack of quarterback play, all those different things. But it's like, you know, the league needs to get to Walt Anderson and tell him to, you know, lighten up. It's just brutal what he's been doing with all the official calls and all the penalties and all that different stuff. It is absolutely horrendous, and I don't like it. I don't know what you think about it, but I think it's really bad. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
And good morning to you, Mrs. Clayton.
Where you been the last couple of weeks? We've missed you.
Well, sadly, my best friend's father died in the summer, but the soonest they could have a memorial service was last Saturday in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
So I was there, but I had to go, and just was difficult to make a call at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mr. Clayton, let's go through a couple of real things quick before we really talk about the Fighting Irish. And that is, how about Mrs. Clayton's team?
Arkansas?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Aren't they great?
They are fantastic. They're high up in the recruiting for next year. I mean, high up. I think they're in the top 10 something recently, I think, mm-hmm. I looked and saw. They're doing it right. What, second year for that coach, right?
Right, right.
And they're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. It's going to be happy times in the Clayton house for the next couple of years, Mr. Clayton.
She's loving it. I bet she is. She watched the game yesterday and loved it.
Yeah. Oh, well, for sure. I'm just saying. And they're doing it the old school way, Mr. Clayton. a solid defense and an offense that pounds the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I checked them out here a couple times, and yeah, they got what it takes, Mr. Clayton. So, you know, just to go back here briefly for talking about the turkey games.
Mm-hmm.
You're right about the refereeing, and what's so bad about it is you know that Raiders Dallas game. 38,531,000 people watched that game, Mr. Clayton.
Uh-huh.
The highest viewership since 1990. And they had to watch a referees practice their throwing arm? Unbelievable.
It was brutal. I mean, what? Each team had 14 penalties.
Yeah, that broke the record for the NFL, I believe. I thought I heard that, too.
Yeah, and John Hockley, who normally calls like 13.5 penalties a game, called 28.
Oh, my God.
28 that was accepted. There was a few more that weren't accepted.
Well, you know, Thanksgiving is always meant to be a showcase.
Yeah.
And the NFL, you know, is really, really tight on making sure their image doesn't look bad. But I don't know if you could do a worse job than what they presented and put on for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. But Mr. Clayton. And how about that caller who loves Irish Minky today?
How about that?
Hey, I love that, Mr. Clayton. You know, it's like wrestling. You got to have the bad guy to be hated.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy being that bad guy because I know the Irish are the best, Mr. Clayton.
They're not the best. They're not Alabama.
Well, Mr. Clayton.
They're not Georgia.
Mr. Let's talk about college teams versus NFL farm clubs, Mr. Clayton.
Uh-huh.
That's what they are. Don't worry. The Irish are... They're number six in the in the big parade. If a couple teams fumble the ball, Mr. Clayton, not likely. But if they were to, the Irish might even make it in the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
They will be there next year, Mr. Clayton.
Well, you said they're going to be. You said they're going to be there this year.
Well, we tried.
Yeah.
We had a. The unexpected became the norm here, like it's been all year for everybody, mm-hmm. NFL and college, and you've got Cinderella and made it to the ball. That'd be Cincinnati, Mr. Clayton.
Right.
Yeah.
And who did they beat?
Oh, of course, they beat the Irish.
Yeah.
The only loss in the season, Mr. Clayton,
that's correct.
I might add.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, which they probably don't this year, they're certainly going to have a pretty fantastic bowl game this year. I've read they're talking about, I've seen, you know, these people that come up with these speculations about who the bowl matchups will be.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them match up Michigan. I've seen them match up the Ducks, which would be fantastic. Fantastic to see Notre Dame have Duck for New Year's.
There you go.
Yes, sir. So, Mr. Clayton, for all those lovers of the Irish, or soon-to-be lovers, I just want to point out one thing. I want to suggest that they save their souls.
Yeah.
They come to Jesus, come to Touchdown Jesus, and go Irish, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you so much.
Hey, have a great day.
Okay. And I've been waiting for this guy to call for the last couple of weeks. Let's go to Dre. Dre, I cannot thank you enough for that plaque that you made and had made for me, that Pro Football Hall of Fame plaque. It is so great, so well made, and I have it at a cherished spot right on top of my trophy case. I mean, that was fantastic.
Well, you it's well deserved, John, and I'm sorry for getting it to you so late. I had it made in the Philippines years ago, and you know, you didn't have those fantasy camps anymore, and I guess mm-hmm. I put it in a box, so I was going through my stuff, and I was just like, oh, man, I forgot to give this to John. I was like, wait a minute. And I know my friend Henry, he sees you every once in a while, and I said, hey, Henry, can you do me a favor? I said, can you give this to John next time you see him, next time he comes in? And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. And so I was just happy to that we was able to have that network connection to where we made it all happen. And I'm glad you liked it because, man, I think it's one of those things where you've done so much for everybody here in Seattle to where, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to get choked up a little bit, John.
Yeah.
Because, man, you
But it is so nice, and everybody I've shown it to, or anybody that's been in the house and seen it, is just amazed that the work that the woman from Puerto Rico did in making this thing.
Well, it was in the Philippines, John.
Philippines.
I had done it in the Philippines, and you know, I'm gonna say it's for everybody, all the listeners, all the callers, that we wanted to just say, hey, thank you to everything that you've done. You've been here since 1986, and man, it's just a pleasure to just have you on the radio and just continue to be the top sports talk radio show, morning show on the Saturdays in the country, and it's going to continue to be that way. And I just wanted to honor you and just say thank you for all you've done for me. And even at those fantasy camps, yeah, we don't play fantasy football, but you know, you made your appearances there, and it's one of those things where I'm very much appreciative of what you've done for me and all and everybody in the city. So that's a gift that I just wanted to give to you and just say thank you. And when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks situation, hey, they play the NFC South next year. They play the AFC West next year, John. So you gotta go. They go to Kansas City. They go to the Chargers, and Denver comes here. Denver comes here and the Raiders come here. So it's going to be a tough schedule for next year because we already know how well a lot of those teams are playing. So it's going to be tough. And like I said, they're going to need a running back. They're going to need a running back because Carson is probably may not even be back next year. So it's a lot of things to where, this team, I'm not sure about Pete Carroll. Firing Pete Carroll is the answer, but I'm just saying, I think they're going to need to change this offense a little bit because like I said, Mr. Alex Collins gives you four yards of carry, so puts you down in the second and six a lot of times. It's that second down to where they are not sure what they're going to do, and it looks confused, and it looks to where the defenses know exactly what they're going to do. So third down definitely is the key. But the first four games of the season, John, they played. You said we go back to the Colts game, but the second half in that Colts game, they didn't really show up offensively. And same with the Titans game. They sure played well in the first half, didn't really show up in the second half. Vikings game, they played well in the first half, and the offense didn't show up in the second half. So they have to get it situated to where, like you said, a left tackle they're definitely going to need. Dwayne Brown's been getting ran over throughout this season. He's been on his back a lot and been getting dominated. So a left tackle, running back, and maybe another offensive lineman and a third wide receiver, because I think a third wide receiver, I think they haven't been able to get the ball to Swain as much as they wanted to. But still, I think the defenses are going against the Seahawks offense. I think they figured them out to where they just look confused, John. They look confused, and I just want to say, man, have a great weekend, John. It's always a pleasure, and man, you're well deserved. That plaque was definitely well deserved for you.
Hey, Dre, thank you so much. It's one of the best gifts I've ever had. That's fantastic.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome, John. Take care.
All right. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.